Okay, then, we're going to start with steps 1 through 4. Okay, so, my guinea pig here. Thank you. Okay, so you want to do this?
Yes.
All right. We're clear. First step, once I start, I can't stop. When I'm stopped, I can't stay stopped. Let's just start eating in that crazed, insane way. Something takes over and I have no control. When I'm stopped, my thinking guarantees that I'm always going to do it again. Anything left you haven't tried to control it? That might work?
I did try once to quickly throw the food in the bin and pour a dishwasher in it. That's what I'm going to do. But then the next time I convinced myself, I might as well just eat it. Because it was right there.
Mm.
Why waste it? Now I spent money on buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please speak a little louder?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so
probably not a lot, but I haven't tried now.
So you're ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, there's nothing to do in the first step. We do that when we're eating. We get desperate. And when we're done, if we're ready, if we're willing. Do you have your big book with you? Okay, do you have a pen? You're ready to follow directions. On the inside cover of your book, I would like you to write, I am willing to go to any lengths. And sign it and date it. The reason I have you do that is someday down the line when you say, I don't know if I want to do that, I'm going to say, open up that book on the inside cover and see what you wrote. You said you were willing. Okay? Do you have hope that what worked for me will work for you?
Yes.
Then let's do it.
I trust you.
Thank you. I will try to never betray that trust. That's a big deal. Third step is simply a decision. I used to hear people say all the time in the rooms that I woke up this morning, I took the third step, and then went about with my day. Turned my will and my life over to God. If you're standing on the side of a pool and you decide to go swimming, you haven't gotten wet. You have to take action. So the third step is a decision that you're going to follow through taking the actions outlined in this book. Okay. Are you in English or Danish? Okay, what page is the third step prayer on? I knew that one. Oh, page 63. Okay. Do you have any questions before we say the prayer about the third step or what is involved in any of this?
I'm just anxious and eager to move on.
Okay.
Get it done.
Some people have lots of questions. This is going to be quick. That's okay. That's okay. No, it's real. That's what's important. Okay, so we can say the third step prayer together if you'd like.
Yeah.
Do you know where it is? You
yes.
Say it? Okay. You lead, I'll follow.
God, I offer myself to thee,
to build with me, and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them
bear witness to those I would help
of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Okay, now go back to that inside cover of your book. And I want you to write dear and your name. You are never going to have your way again as long as you live. Love God. P.S. If you follow the directions, in this book, you will thank me for it. One day at a time.
Could you please repeat it?
Sure. In my book I wrote, dear Joni, you are never going to have your way again as long as you live. Love God. P.S. If you follow the directions in this book, you will thank me for it one day at a time. What do you think?
I think that's very powerful and scary. But since nothing has worked for me so far, I know that I have to do something else. And I feel in my heart that this is the right thing.
Cool. This is a letter that Cliff gave to me. And it's not words out of the big book. However, it's reflective of what the book is saying. That decision says, life's not about me anymore, it's about God. So if that's the truth, I'm never going to have my way again. If I follow the directions, it'll all work out fine. What the book tells us is the proper use of the will is to seek God's will. And if I align my will with God's, and it happens to be that God wants what I want, it works out just fine, I get what I want. But what I want is to align my will with God's. Some people will react like, that's a powerful statement, that's what I want, that's all I've ever wanted. Some people might be indignant and say, well, you know, that doesn't sound too good. I use it as a measure of how well I've done taking people up to that point. Sometimes, not always. I mean, sometimes it's the other person. Sometimes it's the way I'm carrying the message. I've rushed too fast through the first conversation. I haven't really hammered in the deadly nature of this disease. They aren't necessarily desperate. Something like that. If all of those pieces fall into place from my side and they're ready on their side, usually the response is something pretty powerful or, you know, not how dare you do this to me. That's not what I signed up for. So we're on track. We can go on to step 4. That's for you. I have some extra copies. I know some of you have used these forms, some of you have not. You can just kind of spread these out amongst you and share. I didn't bring enough for everybody. The directions are on the form. Normally, because I'm working virtually, I email the forms to a person. I give them the instructions. As you see, the instructions are on the forms themselves. And I tell them if they have any questions, get back to me. Yes?
I'll make a little comment. I have the sheets in English and in Danish also translated. So if anybody won't get it here, they can contact me. I can send it to you.
Okay, maybe several of you can kind of look on together and share them.
Well, then, Colin, could you maybe say what's different from what says in the book, since you didn't just, like, use the book instead of...
On the sheets or on that fourth sheet?
Yeah, like, why do you even have sheets?
Oh, Cliff gave them to me. I didn't make them up. I just do what I'm told.
But what's different from the book? For the recording.
Maybe you're going to. I'm not sure. I know that, I mean, it puts it into an easy format. I'm sorry?
Because for me, that's getting the same thing as in the book, but I have it so I don't have to think about what to do.
Right.
I just have to do it.
Right, so right.
It helped me so I know what to do. I was not figuring out what to do. I just had to do it.
Exactly. And because I trusted Cliff and his knowledge that came from Joe, I didn't question it. And it works. And I've used it with lots of people, and it works. I just don't question it and analyze it and say, you know, here's what's different. There is one piece that I will talk about when we get to it. I wasn't sure whether you were talking about the fourth one. Okay. So your directions. You're going to start with resentments. And in the first column, you know who you resent. You're going to make a list. Just go down the list. And normally, I would say this should only take you a few hours when you sit down to write it. We don't have a few hours, so I'm going to say maybe stop at the end of the sheets. I don't want you to stop and think about anything. I just want you to write in a prayerful way, take a deep breath, and start writing down the first column, a list of those that you resent. Yes?
And we say, translating resent, is that...
Okay, cool. Thank you. Second column. You're 6 words or less. No story. Write why you resent the person. Why are you angry at the person in column 1? No stories. When we start talking about stories, we start justifying the resentment. So, he hit me. Something like that. Third column, you're going to look at how what person in column 1 did in column 2 and how it affected you. Affected you financially, security, personal relationships, sexual relationships. Just check your way through whichever ones apply. If you're not sure, keep going. It'll all become clear when we do the fifth step. Fourth column. You're going to set aside what person in column 1 did in column 2 and look for your part. Where were you selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, or inconsiderate? Check whichever ones apply. Again, don't worry if you're not sure. Skip it. It'll become clear. Questions?
Yeah. So, column 4... So I have to consider whether or not I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, inconsiderate for thinking that this person made me angry.
No, just in that situation, relationship, whatever.
Okay.
You know, when Johnny hit you, you know, I took his toy. So he hit me. So I resent him, but you know, I took it, so I was selfish. Simplistic example. If it doesn't apply, don't worry about it. If you're not sure, we'll talk about it later. You're just looking for, in that relationship, were you selfish, dishonest, you know, or situation. Okay? All right, then let's go on to the next page. I think it's two or three pages in, the fear inventory. I would suggest that for each of these, you're going to have an hour, take 15 minutes for each inventory, and don't worry about going beyond that, and it'll be fine. Okay, fears. What am I, first column, what am I afraid of? Same thing, make your list. Second column, why am I afraid? 6 words or less, no story. Third column and fourth column are the same. Questions? Let's go on to the next one. It's the review of our sex conduct. When Bill W. wrote the Big Book, he wrote a section on sex conduct because sex was a problematic behavior for alcoholics pretty much across the board. As compulsive eaters, we have our issues with sex, but for the most part, one of my broad generalizations, we're not waking up in the morning wondering where we are, how we got there, and what we did. Fair enough? Okay, but it's in the Big Book, we're going to do it anyway. So, first column, who did I harm? We're looking not about the sex act, we're looking about who did I harm with my sexuality. Cliff calls it sex powers. Could be flirting with a police officer that stops you for speeding so that you can...
That's not bad.
Everybody's happy.
Just an example.
And another thing with the sexuality, there is this sexual anorexia, and that I think that's more common for overeaters than we
withhold sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how we can harm, not being acting out, but acting in.
Right. How have we harmed others with our sexuality anyway? And that's for sure one of them.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah,
in your relationship... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go on, 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah.
You.
Skal jeg lige sige det på dansk? Seksuelt anoreksi, det er jo, når vi ikke tør investere os selv, eller at vi bruger sex som magtmiddel, at man ikke går ind i den seksuelle relation, eller altså, typisk i parforhold vil det være, at man kan være, man sælger varen til at starte med, men så trækker man sig. Og så er det sådan, ud af det sig igen, ikke? Altså, helt så det seksuelle bliver en måde at kontrollere den anden på, ved ikke at have sex. Har du noget til at sige?
What she said.
Nej, lad os bare tage essensen der. Ja. Ja.
Okay. Eller så you'll feel free to ask me afterwards about the...
Do you need some more examples?
Må jeg ikke lige komme med et input der? Altså, jeg ved det ikke, men I må rette mig, I er mere ind i det. Men det er jo en meget bevidst måde at sige det på, ikke? At det er en måde at kontrollere den anden ved ikke at give livsen ikke engang, men måske ikke også, hvad ved jeg. Men kunne det ikke også, ledende spørgsmål, tolkes som, at det altså, at man netop man kan have en meget udadrettet energi, men det kan også være fuldstændig, at man skal have hele den del væk fra sig. Man ved måske ikke engang hvorfor, og det føles ikke som om, man kontrollerer nogen eller noget, eller straffer nogen eller noget, men det er det der anoreksi, man underslægger sig selv, man tør slet ikke gå ned ad den bane. Er det muligt?
Ja. Ja, men det er også det der med, at jeg har overspist så meget, og kunne ikke noget være min egen krop, så jeg kunne ikke have, at der var nogen, der rørte ved mig.
Ja. Mm. Altså, netop, det er bare for at få den der med, det kan også være, at det ikke ligesom, man slet ikke har kontakt med, det handler om at ville overhovedet kontrollere nogen andre, eller manipulere nogen, at der bare simpelthen er lukket af, ikke?
eller du kan føle dig mæssigt til stede. So in Danish,
we have to write a big song.
No, your sex isn't a huge.
You can act out with the sex for your partner, but you don't have the feelings with it, so just doing it, but not in the relationship with the feelings, or actually not in love with that person. No, like an example.
It's complex.
Are we good now?
Yes. No.
But it is because a lot of, as you say, a lot of overeaters actually rebuild their sexuality instead of being present.
Yeah. I used my sexuality to make my spouse jealous, so he could like me more, and I could get the attention I wanted, the way I wanted it. So I used to, I actually made him jealous.
Consciously?
Yeah. I don't think it was kind of our pattern. If you are out there, come here, and I will make you jealous so you can come here, and then he was here. I couldn't stand having him that close, and that, oh.
Okay, we got that. Any questions? I think they were answered. I'm not sure. Sounded good. It's a pretty language to listen to. Okay, so I told you why the sex conduct was included in the big book. And we agreed that yes, we have issues with sex and sexuality, but they're different than alcoholics for the most part. There is one behavior which we have, which is problematic for compulsive eaters across the board, and that's our eating conduct. Whether it's compulsive eating, whether it's you know, following this food plan and doing it, you know, everybody take care of me or whatever it is. A lot of people have gotten harmed, at least in my path, with my eating conduct. I always thought, up until doing this, that I was the one that got hurt. If I got fat, if I got sick, if I died young, I was hurting me. When I did this, I discovered that that was only the beginning, that a lot of other people got hurt with my eating conduct. So we're going to do the exact same thing. First column, who did I harm? Second column, what did I do? 6 words or less, no stories. Third column, how did what I did in the first column? The third column, how did it affect me, self, my relationships, security, all that. Fourth column, where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate? Just check your way through. Questions? You ready to write?
Yes.
Go.
you want to show you where you can sit?
Can I ask for the sexual conduct? It's also in relationships general or only on the sex content? Because one of my sponsors had for all relations as well. So it was both the sex conduct and relationships in general.
I just have been taught to use it for sex conduct. I'm, you know, it may be, you know, having an affair, not with my partner, but it's, you know, or using sexuality, flirting, you know, with people to get stuff. But it's sexual. Okay. What I'd like to do is answer any questions, but go through and talk about what it is. Like I said earlier, we go through the steps and have that experience, then we go through and figure out what happened to us, and then we go through and look for what it is that, as a sponsor, we're trying to accomplish with people. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that now, because that was a half-hour conversation, and we're working on step four, so there's not a whole lot to it as far as doing it. Yes?
Yeah, you said earlier, before that we had a break, that in the fourth step, there's one thing that's very important. And
yes.
You pointed it out, but you didn't tell what it was.
Right.
I didn't get it.
I didn't say it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I can say it in here now. It's what comes out in the fifth step. Most people don't see it in the fourth step. Can we put that on hold? And that will definitely come out.
I have it open here.
Okay. I won't forget that, because that's like key. Okay. Let's just, first step. There's nothing to do for the first step. Once you're clear on what the problem is, I mean, we did all our work on the first step while we were out there shoving food in our face. Understanding the problem comes out of that first conversation. You know, like I said, I came into the rooms with a weight problem. I solved a compulsive eating problem. That's my problem. You know, it's like an alcoholic doesn't have a cirrhosis of the liver problem or a drunk driving problem. They have a drinking problem. So you got to know what the problem is, and we established that. So second step, again, we talked before about concept of God, and don't need that. It's just going to be hope. If she has hope that what worked for me will work for her, she's all set. Third step, and I said this in there, is a decision. The reason that we have to move through the steps so quickly is the book told us that we had a week or a month before we forget how awful it is, that we forget how bad this disease is and how much we don't ever want to do it again, because a week or a month later we're thinking, gee, it's really not so bad. And I couldn't get through a week. Like I said, I couldn't get through a day, so, you know, but some people can. And there's a story in a book about somebody who stopped drinking for 25 years and then they quit their job and died. But so we need to get them, like we said earlier, right out of a binge, ideally. And that doesn't happen with people in the rooms, because they're not necessarily binging. They may be struggling, so it's part of why it makes it harder. And we're going to get you. We're going to get you. So you want them when they're ready and they have hope, and then they make a decision. They've done nothing about turning their will and their life over at that point. They're going to follow directions, and that's how you turn your will and your life over. The fourth step, we're taking an inventory. One of the things I usually say is, don't worry about going through yearbooks or address books or looking under rocks. You know, when you're done, you're done. Just take a deep breath, start writing, and when you're done, go down to the next page. The idea is to get through it, because what's on that paper doesn't matter. Terrible sound. I've never actually said it like that before. It kind of fell out. The reason it doesn't matter, and the answer to your question, is because what we want to discover when we do the fifth step is on page 62 in English, Selfishness, Self-Centeredness. What page is it on in Danish?
I don't know. I have the English one.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I was showing off, I remembered a page, you know. Okay, so selfishness, self-centeredness. And I'm going to ask Julia to read this. Is that her name? Sorry. I'm going to ask her to read this section. when I bring her back. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us.
Sorry, what page was that in
English? 62 in English.
Så det ikke under fem.
That's the key thing that we need to learn. When I bring her back, what I'm going to do is not just sit there and listen to her read through however many pages she has. What I'm going to do is help her to see the selfishness and self-centeredness, that things just didn't go the way she wanted them to go, or with the fear she's anticipating that things aren't going to be the way she wants in the future. One of the things that people often ask is, the book says, a long talk. So we settle in and prepare for, you know, a 3-day long conversation, so that I can spill my guts, and the older I am, the longer my story. But what we need to see is this simple truth. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the root of our trouble. Things don't go the way we want. And often, people see the pattern just by going through 2 or 3 resentments, fears, you know, and if you think about alcoholics again and some of the kind of differences, I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true, that Bill W. did his 4th step on the back of a cocktail napkin. Now, if you hang around with me, maybe English takes up more space, I don't know, but, you know, I've seen people with composition books full of their inventory that took a year and a half to write, and I done those year and a half inventories. The fact is that it's not how much that's in there, it's seeing that one simple truth. I've talked to several of you since last night or this morning, and I'll often ask people, what did you learn from doing your 4th step? And it gives me a read on where they are. I said that that's what Cliff had done when I talked to him. I said that last night. And if somebody clearly sees the selfishness, self-centeredness, you know, it gives me an idea where they are. If somebody can't see that, then I know we have work to do.
Do you explain how it is to be selfish? Because when I did this the first time, I thought of it just being thinking of me all the time, being the ego person. But I think selfish is beyond that, because the way I had it explained now is that I tried to have people do what I wanted so I could be satisfied. And it was selfishness, even though I had a good motive for doing so. It could be a certain way I wanted things to be, so I think it was right, but there was a lot of other ways to get there. But I got away with it because I had a good purpose. I always had a good explanation of why we should do it my way, and I was trying to get people in that direction. And that was my selfishness, not always just thinking about me,
Right. And one of the things, there's an email that, that Cliff sent me, and this is just, you know, from here to there, his instructions on doing a fifth step. And what he says, and what I do with people, is it's our wants. It's our wants that'll kill us. Our wants for the, you know, for the world to be a better place, and, you know, peace on earth and goodwill to men and all of that. It's our wants that are killing us, and equating the word wants with selfishness. So many of us grow up thinking you have to share. Being selfish is bad, and we use it as bad. This isn't about good, bad, right, or wrong. We're looking for what the problem is and what's killing us, and it's the selfishness. Make sense?
I don't know if it's a lot, but I do more explanation before I send them in writing about selfishness.
I don't have them look for selfishness.
It's part of the fourth column.
Right, and I don't... A lot of times... people do the fourth column during the fifth step. More is or less is more. I have found that the more I have people think, the more confused they get, the more words they use, the less clear this concept becomes. So what I'll do is I'll ask her to read across her first resentment, and it really doesn't matter what she says. You know, I resent Tom because, you know, he cheated on me and it affected whatever and I'm blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, I resent the skinny people in the world because, you know, it doesn't matter what they say, because my response is going to be, sounds like person in column A didn't do what you wanted him to do. And she'll probably say, yeah. And then I'm going to ask her if she can see the selfishness in that. And sometimes people will, sometimes they won't. And I'm going to just leave it alone. And then we're going to go to the second column, the second resentment, and I'll have her read it across. And, you know, usually two or three, and people are saying, looks like there's a pattern here. It's not just her pattern, it's everyone's pattern, because we had just read that paragraph on 62 that says selfishness, self-centeredness. That's the root of our troubles. And for fears, it's just that I'm anticipating that things are going to not go the way that I want. So it's all about our wants. Sex conduct is all about selfishness. Eating conduct's all about selfishness. You know, I use sex, if it's, some people withhold sex to, you know, I want a new house. Okay, let's buy a new house. We can have sex. Whatever it is, you know, we withhold sex, we punish with sex, we use it in all kinds of ways to get what we want. The eating conduct was profoundly, it was just, I just had a profound experience with the eating conduct, because like I said when I told her, I always thought I was the one that I was hurting. I can tell you, I had a really good friend growing up, and she got married shortly after college. She was living 500 miles away, an 8-hour drive away, and I bought a new dress to go to her wedding about a week before the wedding, and I had a really bad week. And come time for me to leave to go up to the wedding, the dress didn't fit. No phone call, no show. I just didn't go. I just went about my business, canceled my plans, and never said a word. And she was a really good friend, a really good friend. But things like that, you know, she got hurt. We had talked about her wedding and me being at her wedding, and I just didn't show up. People got hurt because of my eating. I screamed at my kids, and I told you about that. All of the people that I claimed to care about were on that list. All of my family, all of my friends, my work, anybody that I was in relationship with. I told you about cookies in meetings. I wasn't there. I was with my eye on the plate. I have no idea what happened in that meeting. And sometimes they were paying me to fly across the country to attend a meeting, and I'm looking at a cookie. You know? Yes. I just had that conversation with someone, and it's a common one. And it's a really, really hard one. And let me start just by saying that anybody that abuses a kid is wrong. Absolutely, without doubt. What were they thinking? Why would you ever, ever treat a child that way? They don't deserve it. They did nothing. It is not in any way your fault. That person, somehow, some way, is going to deal with their God. It has nothing to do with me. I don't have that experience personally. I've worked with a lot of people who were abused. I can tell you that there's one friend of mine who has made amends to her abuser and said it was the most freeing thing she has ever done. Backing up, it was a long process to get there. When I go through the fourth step, the fifth step, I'm not going to worry about what columns were checked because it's good information. I think it's probably, I think you heard that, I think. It may be more information than we're needing because what we need to see is the selfishness. And again, it may be there for reasons that I don't know, and it works the way it's written, so. But I don't force people to follow, you know, to go in and find selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear, and consider, you know, and check it off and figure out how they were and how they are. I think it's just more thinking and more complicating it. It's hard to see how any child was being selfish in a situation where they were abused. They didn't ask for it. It's not their fault. They did nothing to provoke the situation. What happened, happened in the past. It didn't happen today. The resentment is about what happened in the past. Things didn't go the way we wanted them to go. The reason that we're hurting today has nothing to do with, it's not about the damage, the hurt that was done then. That guy was wrong. It was all him then. 20 years later, he's on my list because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. Today, I still want things to be different. I want it to not have happened. 20 years later isn't going to change the past. Neither will 70 years later. Nothing, no time is going to change the fact that it happened. It did. And it's done. And I'm sorry it happened. You didn't deserve it. It shouldn't have happened, but it did. The only thing that needs to happen now is for you to change, for you to get well. It's, we can't erase what happened.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I worked with steps more times, and this one specific thing from my past keeps coming back.
Right.
It's one I really don't really know, and I feel like I'm ready, and I want to move on, and I want to work with it, but I must just admit that it keeps coming back in my four steps.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I've heard that so many times, and of course it does. Of course it does. One of the things that we have to do is forgive. Now, when I had a hard time with that word, because I thought if I forgive you for those horrible things you did, I was absolving you of your sins, and that's me playing God, and it's not my job. He did is between him and God. I looked up the word forgive in the dictionary, and one of the definitions is to be free of resentment. I read that. That's what this book tells me. The resentment's gonna kill me. I need to be free of the resentment. That's what I need. I need to forgive. And I need to be free of that resentment. So with that, that's what has to happen in order for you to be free. And, you know, when you get to the amends column, and I'm jumping ahead, and those of you that have that packet with the four step also have the amends worksheet, which is four columns. You don't need the worksheet. The first is now, later, maybe, and never. Chances are that guy's in the never column. If you're honest, my guess is that's where he is, right?
I already did the amends to him, actually.
Oh, you did? But it's still coming up? Okay.
Yeah. For me, it does. I don't know about to be honest, it does keep coming up.
We don't make amends until we have forgiven. And if it's keep coming up, the resentment's still there, we haven't yet forgiven. Because remember, resentment means to be free of, forgive means to be free of resentment. I know that. It's a very powerful. It's a very powerful one, and all we can do the resentment prayer, page 66, 67 in the English edition, and you know, say that prayer with him in mind. We can ask God for the willingness. Ask him to remove it. Asking for the willingness to forgive. And it takes however much time. But if we're working on it, it'll go away. I know. And it's hard shit. It's not easy. It's not easy.
But it's also a matter of seeing the selfishness and holding on, right?
Right, right. To really see your part. Because so many people who have been through that type of treatment are saying, it wasn't my fault. And you have to know that it wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault. What happened had nothing to do with you. It's not about what you wore or didn't wear or how you had your hair or what you said or how you acted. It was all him. All him when it happened. Not anything that you could have done to prevent it or done differently. You did your best. I know you did. Today, though, the reason it's still haunting you is your wants. It wasn't the way you wanted. It won't change. It isn't changing. You know, it won't go away. The fact is, that's part of your story. I beat the shit out of my kids when I didn't want to. And I don't like to say that, but it's part of my story. It just is. Yes?
In my case, part of my story is that I I had a very controlling mother. I haven't been abused, but I, and what was left from that was that I didn't want the difficulties it meant for me in my life now, because it was a effect of what she did once. So it was my wants. I didn't want to have these difficulties and go into them and try to get help and yeah. So I still hold on to that. And a part of that was to use the sixth of prayer to be willing to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I carry it with me and put me into the eating.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
By the way, we have 5 minutes before.
Jeg forstod, undskyld. I didn't understand.
Forstod ikke, hvad du fortalte hele
tiden. Skal jeg forklare på engelsk?
Det er på dansk.
Ja, det sidder lige på dansk.
Er du i den dag, ikke?
Go ahead.
Ja. Det er næsten lige meget, hvad baggrunden var. Der var noget, der skete i min barndom, så der er nogle ting, jeg ikke har lært. Og det betyder så, at jeg havde rigtig mange problemer med forhold til andre mennesker og være i det. Og det ville jeg ikke have. Jeg ville ikke have det der, så jeg blev ved med at være sur på min mor, fordi hun ikke havde gjort det anderledes, dengang jeg var barn. Og det var fordi, at det gav mig problemer i mit dagligliv i dag. Jeg blev ved med at være sur på min mor. I stedet for, og det var nemmere at være sur på hende, end faktisk at søge noget hjælp og prøve at finde ud af, hvad er det her, hvad kan jeg gøre ved det. Mm. Altså, og det er min situation alene, jeg forholder mig ikke til misbrug og sådan noget, det har jeg ikke været udsat for. Men det, der fik mig igennem, det var, fordi der var en del af mig, der godt kunne lide det. Altså, lige meget forsøgte så bare at gå og være vred over det hele tiden, og hvad konsekvenser gav, så var der en del af mig, som gerne ville holde fast i det. Og der hjalp bønden mig til endelig at give slip i det, så jeg ikke blev vred på min mor hver gang, hendes navn blev ledet op nogle steder, ikke?
Hvilken bønd var
den? Nej, jeg siger ikke kun bønden. Så jeg står, at hvis vi bliver ved her og hang on to something, we won't let go of.
Yeah.
We keep on praying until we are with me.
But in a case like this, I can have forgiven and still come back again. Then you put it again and again and again on your list.
Mm-hmm. If it's there, if it pops up when you're doing a resentment, it's on there. And you just have to forgive and keep praying.
Because I have some situations again and again and over again, prayed again and again and again. And it's just like, when will God ever remove this?
In like his time.
I know what you're saying, but it's going for 5 years like that, and still you are actively doing your prayers, you're actively wanted, you're actually doing the, whatever, you know, the prayer and the history behind, you're really, really doing it, you're really on your knees, and still, that takes off my hope of the second step.
When you're asking God to remove it, are you then resolutely turning your thoughts to being of service? I need to stop thinking about me and what I want and what's gone on and my resentments. Ask God to remove it, then resolutely turn my thoughts. That's an active word. I have to think about others and not think about me whenever that stuff crops up.
First, I had dreams for about 5 years of some persons each night.
Mm-hmm.
Then
and that sucks.
To be part of the service next day, and
well, no, and you know what I would do? I would tell you.
And sometimes I really want to do the service for everybody else, and what it makes me do is that I run away from my feelings, and still I can be of service for everybody else, and then. For each day, it's just still running after me. But one day at a time, I'm doing the service. And one night at a time, it's coming back.
What I would suggest, if you called me as your sponsor and said, I woke up with a dream. I would suggest that in that moment, you're asking God to remove it, and then turning your thoughts there. Sometimes we get caught in those 10-step directions with doing stuff, rather than the directions in the book say resolutely turn our thoughts to others. And in the middle of the night, prayer, that it works for me. What I do, if I wake up in the night thinking about something or, you know, having a nightmare, I'll ask God to remove the fear, whatever else is going on, and then I'll start praying down a list of people, thinking of others. Because if I'm thinking about others, I'm not thinking about me and what's got me going. It's not about doing good deeds. Doing good deeds are nice, but I can, let me tell you, I can stand there and do good deeds thinking about me.
Excuse me, deeds? But then also Gerninger. Thank you.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It's 2:00. Mm. We'll be back.
Maybe we need to check up with Jimmy's. Just be her hand and do the foundation again. Stop.